translation. The four divisions of retired life are the Vekanasas, Valakilyas, Odambaras, and Fenabas. The four divisions of the renounced order of life are the Kutichakas, Bhavanas, Hamsas, and Nishkriyas. All these were manifested from Brahma. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Varnashram Dharma, or the institution of the four divisions and orders of social and spiritual life, is not a new invention of the modern age, as proposed by the less intelligent. It is an institution established by Brahma from the beginning of the creation. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chaturvarnyam Mayam Srishtam. Om Jnanti Vedantasya Jnananjana Shakaya Chakshuravimitam Yena Asmai Shri Gurudeva Sri Chaitanya Vishnam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kalamayam Dadati Svagadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Vrindavanam straight away start to describe all the glories of Brahma. And the glories of Brahma comes from his creation and what appeared from the mouth of Brahma. So Brahma, from Brahma's mouth appeared so many things as from these previous texts, the Vedas, the Yajnas, the Puranas, the principles of religion, Varnashram, all of this is appearing from the mouth of Brahma. And as Srila Prabhupada is saying in this purport, this is not something new. This is not a, this is not a modern creation. This is something established. It is an institution established by Brahma from the beginning of the creation. This Varnashram is not just something concocted. It is something coming from the mouth of Lord Brahma way back at the time of creation. So, in this particular text, it's quite a, it was quite an interesting read, wasn't it? The translation, the word for word, it was like, whoa, this is quite intense. And how does this relate to us now? Because it's talking about the four divisions of the retired life, the Vanaprastha ashram, and the four divisions of the renounced life, the Sannyasa ashram. So we've got the Vaikanasas, and it says here, those who live from active life and live on half-boiled meals, the Vaikalyas and quits his form of stop and rains the water. We're thinking, okay, but how is this related to us now? How can this relate to us now? And if you think about the ashram as a principle, and if you think about the assembly that's assembled at the banks of the Ganga, and Maharaj Parikshit is also listening to this conversation that Parikshit Maharaj is hearing from Sukadeva Goswami. If we think about the sages in Namasharanya, where Suta Goswami is speaking to them, they're speaking to a lot of ascetics. When nature, living in nature was very normal, very natural. Living in the forest was very normal, very natural. But the principle of Varnaprastha, the principle of retired life, and the principle of renounced life can still be very much incorporated into our lives today. So when we see this Vaikanasas, we can think, okay, the section who retire from active life and live on half-boiled meals, okay, so can we start to eat more simply? Can we slow down from consumerism? Vaikalya, one who quits his former stock, okay, can we start to, one who quits his former stock of grains on receipt of more? So can we minimize clutter? Now, how many things do we have in our house? You know, how many things are there? Can we start to just part with some of those things? Can we start to just get rid of some of those things and just simplify, simplify our life? Or Dharma, one who lives on what he gets from the direction which he starts after rising from bed. Okay, so maybe that's not going to be so practical now, but what we can, the principle of Odharva can be, okay, can we live with awareness of natural resources? Now we have the solar energy, we're more aware of the environment, respecting the environment more as we come to know about how much the earth is giving to us. Fenapa, one who lives on the fruits which automatically fall down from the tree. So what's the principle of one who, I mean, of course we're not going to fall down, sit under a tree and maybe wait for an apple to fall down and that will be our day's prasadam, but we can still be understanding the principle of, can we accept what comes to us naturally? Can we cultivate some kind of contentment in what is given to us? And this is the stages of retired life, the stages of that Vanaprastha life, that we come to this place where, okay, Krishna has a plan for me. Can I accept the plan of the Lord and become satisfied? Can I get this judaya, the satisfaction within my heart of what has been given to me, and not live in envy of what others have and I wish I had because I wish I was them and I'm just not satisfied with who I am. I mean, if Krishna wanted us to be someone else, he would have made us someone else. But Krishna made us as we are and he loves us for who we are, the person that we are. And then in this verse, it also talks about the divisions of the renounced life, Kutichakas, Bhavadas, Hamsas and Nishkriyas. Again, so we're thinking about the stages of sannyas, the stages of renounced life. So Kutichaka, start the austerity, the deep study, the meditation. Bahudaka, begging door to door. The Hamsa, starting to preach as they go door to door. And then the Nishkriya, if you like, the most advanced, the tamed self-realization. Maybe the Paramahamsa stage. So when we think about these stages of sannyas, we think about these stages of renunciation, ultimately renunciation is not an external thing, it's not an external practice. Okay, now I'm going door to door, I made it to the next stage, and now I'm preaching, I made it to the next stage. And now I'm a paramahamsa, hariwal. You know, it's not about these external stages that what am I doing? Have I got to the next stage? Because this is what I'm doing. It's about who we are. It's about what's going on in our inner world, our inner cultivation, our inner spirit, more than what we're doing externally. That's what's really important. When we're with devotees, and sometimes the devotee may come to us with some problem. A devotee may come to us with some situation that they've occurred, and they're quite distressed, quite sad. Are we just thinking, what can I do right now? Or actually, if we just sit and we're just with that person, and that devotee can just feel that this person is with me, this person is here for me right now, and just by being, just by coming into our being, we can actually really help someone. Lord Chaitanya, he was in Benares, he was in Varanasi. He was actually being criticized by the Mayavadi sannyasis. And then he went off to Mathura, went to Vrindavan, and he thought, okay, I'll deal with this when I get back. So, you know, sometimes it's like that. We're being criticized or some, you know, and we're thinking, okay, now's not the time. You know, and the problem with us is, even if now is not the time, because our ego has been so bashed, we make it the time right now, even if it's not really the time. Even if like Mangalarti was about to start, you know, and someone did something or said something, hey Prabhu, hey, did you really do that? Did you really take that barfi from my locker? You know, it's like, what happened? How could you do that? And sometimes we can become so disturbed. And we don't think about what is now the right time to deal with this disturbed situation. You know, and sometimes we need to just create some space. Just create a bit of space between the triggering moment and the time we respond. And that space has to be cultivated internally. That's the mode of goodness. That's subtle good. Actually, can we take some time to think and reflect before responding? Mode of passion, Rajagun, is, okay, let's not think. Let's just act. Let's fight. Let's get into this. And Tamil Guru is just to go mad, just to go crazy. So Lord Chaitanya, he's in Benares, and one Brahmana approaches Lord Chaitanya, and he says, can you come to this gathering? It's a gathering of all the sannyasis. I know you usually don't come, Lord Chaitanya, you didn't associate with the sannyasis, the Mayavadi sannyasis. He was with Chandrasekhar, he was with Sanatana Goswami. That wasn't really, he didn't want to out with the Mayavadi sannyasis. But at that time the Brahmana came to him, even though he kind of thought the Lord might say no, because he usually says no, but something within the heart of the Brahmana said, I need to ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu if he'll come. And Lord Chaitanya agreed. He said, okay, I'll come. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that actually to give mercy to the Mayavadi sannyasis, he went. So he goes to meet the sannyasis in Benares, headed by Prakashananda Saraswati, and the 60,000 sannyasis. Imagine a hall, this big hall in Kashi, this massive, massive hall, and imagine 60,000 people, and they're all sannyasis. Like, you can't even imagine 1,000 people. Like, it's just way gone, right? Even if you close your eyes and think about 60 sannyasis, like 60 of them, and some will pop up into your head, Keshav Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj, Giriraj Maharaj, Sachinanda Maharaj. You know, you just think of different Maharajas, different sannyasis in the room, and then there's 60 of them, and then there's 600 of them, and then there's 6,000 of them, and there's 60,000 sannyasis in this room. And Lord Chaitanya walks in, and he's like, Namaskara, Namaskara, Gela. You know, he pays obeisances to all of them. Pada Prakshalane, then he goes and washes his feet. Pada Prakshalane Kori, Vashila Sheshtane. So he goes and washes his feet. All the sannyasis are there, Prakashanandi Saraswati is there. And he goes to the side where he washes his feet, where everyone went to wash their feet before sitting. sitting down, and Rashi Rashi Shtane, he just sat there. So he didn't sit amongst all the sannyasis, he just sat where people go and wash their feet. That's when he went and sat down. This is the humility of the Lord. This is what's going on in the inner world of Lord Chaitanya. The sannyasi, we could say the Lord, who is playing the role of the sannyasi, he has this much humility. And this is the humility that melted the heart of the sannyasis in Benares. It said that Lord Chaitanya was sitting, and as he was sitting, this glow started to appear. Vashila Karila Kichu Aishwarya Prakasha, this Prakash, this Aishwarya, this glow started to come. Mahateja Maya Babu Koti Surya Bhasha, that this Mahatej, this Tej, this glow started to just come out of Lord Chaitanya, and Koti Surya Bhasha, like it was millions and millions of suns. Millions and millions of suns were glowing, and Lord Chaitanya is glowing, 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 glowing. So he's in this most humble place, the place where Pada Prakshalana, where people are sitting and washing their feet. That's where he's sitting. But he's glowing, he's glowing. And all the sannyasis, you know, first they're murmuring to each other, like, we can just imagine, 60,000. Okay, who's this sannyasi? You know, he doesn't really hang out with us, he's just got dancing around and now he's going to sit over there. He's just sitting over there. That's where people wash their feet. Why is he sitting over there? Pshh. The sun, Koti Surya Bhash, millions and millions of suns are glowing from the effulgent body of Lord Chaitanya. And everyone's becoming attracted. Everyone's like, wow. Imagine for a Mayavadi to see the light. You know, talk about bridge preaching. You know, when we do bridge preaching, like we do yoga preaching, we do preaching to different types of people according to them, corporate preaching, okay, these are business people, we need to preach in a certain way to them. So Lord Chaitanya knew what he's doing. What are the Mayavadis like? Light. So he didn't just give them like a flick of a switch, he gave them Koti Surya Bhash, millions and millions of sun. And where did it come from? Just himself. It's glowing from his own body. And they're kind of thinking, okay, like, why are you sitting there? Like, come and sit with us. Now they're attracted to him. First, what's melted their heart is his humility. The humility of the Lord melted the heart of the sannyasis. And then what's really getting them is this light. When Lord Chaitanya met Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, he initiated them. And he said to them, from now on, Aji Hoite Dunanam, Rupa Sanatana, from now on, both of your names is Rupa and Sanatan. But Danya Chani Tomar Danya Pato Maro Man, that just give up your humility. Because your humility, Tomar Danya Pato Maro Man, is breaking my heart. They were just so humble. And because they were so humble, because of the humility of Rupa and Sanatan, when they met with Lord Chaitanya and he gave them, it was just the humility just melted his heart. And it was the Lord's humility himself that melted the hearts of all of these sannyasis. Even though externally these sannyasis are doing everything they're meant to be doing as a sannyasi, and the Lord, in their eyes, in some sense, was not doing what a sannyasi should be doing, their heart was melted because of what's going on in the inner world of the Lord. And it's what's going on in our inner world that can actually make a massive difference in someone's life. More than what we are doing externally, it's what's going on inside the heart. So they're telling him, okay, Lord, a great sannyasi, who's got these millions of sunshines coming out of your effulgent body, please don't sit there, come sit with us. And he's like, no, I'm from a lower order of sannyas. And they're like, yeah, but you know, like, you can't, because he took his sannyas initiation from Kesha Bharati, he felt himself as a lower than a Saraswati of Prakashananda. So they're also in the, so these categories we see here in the Bhagavatam, there's also categories of sannyas in the Varnashram system, but also in the Shankara system, they've got their categories, and Saraswati is one of the higher ones, and the Bharati is also there, but not as high as the Saraswati category. please, like, I've come from this category, I'm a lower grade sannyasi than you, so I'm sitting over here, I'm going to just sit by where we're meant to wash our feet. And Prakashananda, the leader of these sannyasis, takes him by the hand. Appane Prakashananda, hate te dari, by the hand, he takes Lord Chaitanya and puts him, takes him right to the middle of this great assembly of sannyasis. He takes him right into the middle, and it said, he takes him right into the middle, and Shamana Korea, he gives Lord Chaitanya the greatest respect. He gives him the greatest respect. Vasha ila sabha mane, Shamana Korea, takes him to the middle and offers him the greatest respect. And he says, when the Prakashananda Saraswati, he says, look, I know who you are. Puchila tomara naam, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. You are the Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Keshava Bharati ra shishya. You are the disciple of Keshava Bharati. Tate tuni danya. This is your greatness. You are from Keshava Bharati. You're Sri Krishna Chaitanya. This is your greatness. You are great. This you should think of yourself as great. But I have a question for you. Vedanta patana dhyan sanyasi radharma. That studying Vedanta patana and dhyan, meditation, is the dharma of sannyasis. This is my question. Vedanta patana dhyan sanyasi radharma. This is the but. Bhavu kera karma. You are dancing around with the fanatics. What are you doing? Like, what's going on? The sannyasis, what they're meant to be doing is studying Vedanta. They're meant to be sitting in meditation. But Tahachari, you've given all this up. And Bhavu Kera Karma, you're just doing this stuff that the fanatics do. You're doing this stuff, you're just dancing around like a fanatic. What's going on? In one sense, what kind of sannyas are you doing? Because sannyas dharma is not what you're doing. Sometimes we might think like this. We see someone in the temple and they're doing some funny dancing and you're thinking, that's not how the Swami step. You know, we know how we're meant to be doing. And you know, we might just start to judge others by what they're doing externally. Just like, okay, you know, they're just not doing things as per the book. They're like, that's not what it's meant to be. So we start to judge, okay, and this is what's happening. Lord Chaitanya is dancing around like a fanatic, and they're thinking, okay, he's not quite doing things properly. And when we see this, oh, maybe this devotee is a bit spaced out. Sometimes we give him a more transcendental name. Oh, he's an avadut. You know, we give him names like this. He's just a bit of an avadut. And, you know, we use that quite sparingly in ISKCON, but actually, avadut is such a great, like Lord Nityananda, an avadut, you know, he's just full of transcendental love for the Lord. And we kind of use that term in ISKCON, kind of like someone who's just not following the rules. But avadut is someone who is actually beyond the rules, really, really, because they're just transcendently mad after Krishna. So they're like, why are you doing this? Why are you dancing around like a fanatic? And Lord Chaitanya, again, just from his inner humility, he says, well, I asked my spiritual master if I can study the Vedanta. And the spiritual master says to me, Murka Tumi, you are a great fool. Murka Tumi, Tomara Nahika Vedanta Adhika. Tomara Nahika Vedanta Adhikara. You do not have the Adhikar to study Vedanta. You don't have it. You can't do it. But what you should do, Krishna Mantra Japa Sada. Hey, Mantra Sada. Krishna Mantra Japa Sada. He told me all I need to do is chant the holy name of Krishna. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Sitarama Mahan Gorikai Ki. So he's told me all I should do is chant this name of Krishna. Krishna Dama. Krishna Mantra Japa Sada. Hey, Mantra Sada. Just chant the name of Krishna. A mantra sar. This is the essence of all the mantras. Just chant Hare Krishna. And this chanting of Hare Krishna, this is what will give you everything. This holy name in this age of Kali, Namavinu Koli Kale, Navi Ara Dharma, there's nothing else in the age of Kali apart from chanting Hare Krishna. Namavinu Koli Kale, Navi Ara Dharma. sarva mantra saranam, shastra marma. And actually, the purport of all the scriptures, you're telling Lord Chaitanya is kind of saying, look, if you think about the situation, Prakashananda Saraswati said to him, why don't you study Vedanta? Why aren't you reading the books? And Lord Chaitanya is telling him, look, my spiritual masters told me, look, I haven't got the adhikar to study Vedanta. I haven't got the right, I'm not as intelligent as you who can study Vedanta. But what he's told me to do is chant Hare Krishna. And then he says, actually, what my spiritual masters told me is that this is Shastra Marma. The purport of all the scriptures is the chanting of the holy name. And it was in this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya reveals that was beautiful, famous verse that his spiritual master reveals to him about the potency of the holy name. Harenam, Harenam, Harenam Eva Kevalam, Kalonasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatiranya Tata. There's no other way apart from chanting the holy names of the Lord. And what's getting the sannyasis here, what's getting these 60,000 sannyasis headed by Prakashananda Saraswati, isn't what Lord Chaitanya is saying about the holy name. It's the humility of Lord Chaitanya. And because of his humility, everything he's saying is penetrating them right in the core of their heart. So it's not what he's saying, it's the person he is. And because of the person he is, whatever he's saying, it's having an astounding effect on their life. It's having a massively potent effect on what's going on in this assembly because of the humility of the Lord. It is this humility that attracts the Lord to the devotees, attracts the devotees to the Lord. It's like when we just hear about Krishna being Parthasarathi, the chariot driver of Arjuna, it's like, God, the Lord took this position for his devotee. Is that humble? Wow. I want a Lord like this. I want to become friends with this Lord. Because he really cares. He'll become a chariot driver for his devotees. He's willing to sit where people wash their feet to give them love of Krishna. This is the kind of Lord that we want to be. This is what attracts the devotees to the Lord. And he's telling Prakashananda Saraswati, look, I saw my spiritual master told me about these, he's told me about the holy name, he's told me all I need to do is chant Hare Krishna, he's told me the glories of the holy name, that the chanting is the essence of all the scriptures. He's saying there's no other way. So therefore, Dharya Dharite Nani Hela Unamata, Hasi Kandi Nachi Gai Deche Madamata. I've gone mad. I'm dancing, I'm singing, I'm laughing, I'm going mad, and I can't do anything about it. And I'm going mad, I can't do anything about it. So I approached my spiritual master and I said to my spiritual master, Kiba Mantra Diva Kosani Kiba Tarabala, that this mantra is so strong. What kind of mantra have you given me? Japite Japite Mantra. That chanting this holy name, chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Pagal, Kurila Pagal, I've gone mad, I've gone crazy. So it's like, don't blame me. You're telling me I'm a Bhavukera, you're telling me I'm a fanatic, but I'm just doing what my spiritual master told me to do. My spiritual master told me to chant, so I started to chant, and I'm going mad, I'm dancing, I'm laughing, I'm singing, I'm even asking him what's going on, and I'm telling him that I've gone crazy. What to do? And what did my spiritual master tell me? My spiritual master said to me, Krishna nama mahamantera eta svabhava ye japlechara krishna upajaya bhava, that this is the nature of the holy name. That actually if you chant this holy name, upajaya bhava, the bhava comes, the love starts to come, you won't be able to help it. So Lord Chaitanya is telling the spiritual master, I've gone mad. The spiritual master is saying to Lord Chaitanya, yeah, you're going to go mad. That's what happened. And he's telling this to Prakashananda Saraswati. So don't call me a fanatic. I've gone mad, but I meant to go mad because that's what my spiritual master told me is going to happen. What to do? And you're talking, and this Mayavadi said, you know, the dharma, artha, kama, moksha, but Lord Chaitanya says to them that, but my spiritual master told me that there's something beyond this. Krishna Vishayaka Prema Parama Purusharta Yare Aga Trina Tulya Chari Purusharta. That this Krishna Vishayaka Prema, this love of Godhead, this love for Krishna, when you compare this to the Chari Purusharta, the dharma, artha, kama, moksha, it's like Trina Tulya, it's like straw on the street. So, you know, I'm not into this. I'm going for the big stuff. I'm going for Krishna Prem. And it's not my fault. I'm just doing what I was told to do, and this was happening to me. And you know what? My spiritual master said, he just said, Nacho, Gao, Bhakta, Sangha, Karo, Sankirtan. My spiritual master said, you dance, you sing, Bhakta, Sangha, with the association of devotees, Karo, Sankirtan. Go and spread the holy name of Krishna. Go and teach others about Krishna. What to do? What to do? And then he compared this pleasure with the pleasure of Brahman. And he said, Krishna Nama Ye Ananda Sindhu Ashwadana Brahmananda Tala Ayye Katodaka Shama. That Krishna Nama Ye Ananda, the Ananda of the name of Krishna, Sindhu Ashwadana, is like a big ocean. It's a huge ocean. Brahmananda Tara Age Katodaka Shama. And compare that to the happiness from Brahman, it's like a shallow water in a canal. So he said to Prakashananda Saraswati, do you want the ocean or do you want shallow water in a canal? Katodaka Shama. It's just like that. It's just shallow water in a canal. And then the sannyasis, everyone was just like mesmerized. Everyone was just like, whoa, why did I even doubt this guy? You know, he's like walking here. Yes, he was washing his feet. As soon as they saw the suns, they were attracted. And then they started to ask about Vedanta and meditation. Then he told them about the glories of the holy name. And in his ecstasy, he pours out, Lord Chaitanya pours out everything he was told by his spiritual master. Everything that his spiritual master told him about the glories of the holy name. He's told Prakashananda Saraswati, he's told all the sannyasis, and the sannyasis just say to Lord Chaitanya, look, we are totally mesmerized by you. Tomara vachana shuni, by listening to you, Tomara vachana shuni, judaya shravana, all the hearing, my shravan has become satisfied. And tumara madhuri dekhi judaya nayana, and your madhuri, your beauty, just looking at your beauty, tumara madhuri dekhi, looking at your beauty, judaya nayana, has satisfied our eyes. So hearing Lord Chaitanya has satisfied, just listening to his, what he's speaking, tumara vachana shuni, listening to what he's speaking has satisfied their hearing, and looking at his beauty has satisfied their eyes. So they're totally immersed in him. And they asked him, can you speak a little bit on Vedanta? And Lord Chaitanya, because he's now got them with his love, with his humility, with his natural happiness. What does Krishna say to Arjuna? Pratyakshamam vadam dharmyam susukam kartam avyayam. That actually, when we experience pratyaksha vadam dharmyam, when we experience Krishna susukam kartam avyayam, we will naturally be performing devotional service joyfully. We will be performing devotional service joyfully. And if we are performing devotional service joyfully, others around, despite what they may think of us, when they just see that we're joyfully carrying out our spiritual life, that's attractive. That's attractive. People are into that. People want to be happy. People are miserable, and that's why the reason people criticize us, if we think about it, when someone criticizes you, there's nothing wrong with you, there's something wrong with them, in one sense. And then in the other sense, there's something wrong because they're criticizing. And then the other sense is, okay, can I now take what they're saying and learn something? What is it about me that I need to grow? Where is it about me that I need to grow? But But if someone is criticizing you in a, if anyone's criticizing us in an unfair way or in a harsh way, that's not the right way to get someone to correct themselves anyway. So we know that that person has some growth in their own life to work on. But at the same time, why this has come to me? Why has this criticism come to me? Because Krishna wants me to grow. Krishna wants me to learn something. And what is it I need to learn? What is it? There's something here for me. But at the same time, we don't have to take the criticism in the manner in which it was given to us, in a very literal way. All the other things that way, all the packaging sometimes that comes to us with the improvement that we can make might not be so helpful. So we can ignore all of that and just go to it. Okay, maybe I just need to work on the way. Maybe my tone of voice isn't so good. Okay, so maybe I need to work on my tone of voice. But that doesn't make me all the other things that that person may have said about me. There's always something we can get from And because Lord Chaitanya had really attracted these devotees, these sannyasis, with his humility, with his love, what happened? They were ready to listen to anything he said. They were ready to listen to anything he said. And what did Lord Chaitanya say? He said, look, you guys, this Mayavad philosophy is totally degraded. It's totally degraded. And by the way, not only is the Mayavadi philosophy degraded, Shankaracharya, he wasn't really giving you the right stuff. It wasn't, and he even says to them, it wasn't Shankaracharya's fault. It's not Shankaracharya's fault because he was just doing what he was told to do by the Lord. But what he gave you was a load of rubbish. And your whole Mayavadi philosophy, that's also a load of rubbish. And they're all listening to him. And they're not offended one bit because they were attracted to him first. So before, if we really want to help someone with their theological misunderstandings, if we go straight in, what's going to happen? They're going to just reject you. But Lord Chaitanya took his time. Lord Chaitanya sat with them. Lord Chaitanya displayed how joyful he is. He displayed his care for them. He took the humble position. Lord Chaitanya became attractive for them to hear him, for them to see him, for them to be with him. And then he gave them the juicy stuff. He gave them the sauce, as we call it. He gave them the sauce. Sometimes we can become so attached to our ashram, sometimes we can become so attached to our position that we actually miss the point. And that's what he was kind of trying to tell the sannyasi there. You're kind of missing the point. Like you're good, like you're renounced and you're a sannyasi, and that's great. But the point is Krishna Prema. You know, like this is what you need to do with the anika that you have. So if we get to know our inner world, if we get to really think about inside myself, what's going on for me? And once we can start thinking about what's going on for us, we become less critical of others. Because we start to see, actually, why is it that I'm getting affected by what that person did? Why is it that I'm getting so hurt by what that person said? Why is that happening to me? And we'll only really get to this if we're ready to go in. Are we ready to work on our inner world? Or is it that we're just going to live our life blaming others? Because this devotee said that to me, that one said this to me. No one gave me a chance to do this, and no one gave me a chance to do that, and I could have been this, but now I'm just this, and it's their fault, that one's fault, everyone else's fault, but nothing's my fault. And then if we live our life like that, we're not going to have that susukam. We're not going to have that joy. We're not going to be able to perform devotional service with that joy. But when we start to go in and start to think, actually, yeah, why does that bother me so much? Why does that get to me so much? Oh, I'm noticing a pattern. Every time my family says something to me, they talk to me as if I'm a child, that's kind of getting to me. And rather than me responding with which can happen, we get, you know, if someone talks to us like we're a little kid, what happens sometimes, we just respond like a little kid. You're talking to upset, so what do? You just you respond like a 5-year-old. That happens sometimes. But if we just take a second to just think, just take some time, just create that space between that triggering moment, create that space. How should I respond? How should I respond? And Lord Chaitanya took some space. He took some time. He knew everyone was criticizing him, so he took some space. And to loads like to come out. And with our own, we won't have Koti Surya Bhash. We're not going to have millions and millions of sunshines. We're not going to have Maha Dejavaya. We're not going to have this bulging everywhere. But through our spiritual practice, Krishna gives us Shakti. Krishna gives us spiritual energy. And through this, you know, I was thinking when we were in the kirtan, when we did Guru Puja, we were in the kirtan, and I was just thinking that the plan was to speak about the glories of the holy name, and how so much more important than everything else. And when Ram Lakshman was singing, I was just thinking, I just hope this singing doesn't end ever. He was just singing so beautifully, and I even said to him, like, the sign went up at 8:30 class, and I went up to him, no, don't worry about that. You keep singing because this is beautiful, and actually. And this is actually what Lord Chaitanya is saying, this chanting of the holy name, when we can just chant the holy name, especially Bhakta Sangha Koro Sankirtan, when we can chant the holy name with the devotees, there's nothing better. It's just so beautiful. So with that, maybe we'll end here. If anyone has any comments, questions, corrections, it would be lovely to hear your thoughts, realizations. Anyone like to share anything? Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the wonderful class that you shared. Thank you. In reality, and the demigods are also materialistic like us. So I just wondered, in reality, Freud says that we all carry this fantasy of attraction in an incestuous manner. So how is it different for Lord Brahma to have those feelings? And I know he pursued it, but there are people in the real world who pursue these feelings, and they label it as crazy. So I don't know if it makes sense what I'm trying to get.
Yeah, thank you, Mataji. I think I kind of understand. I mean, a lot of what Freud said was also later pushed back on a lot by his own followers. I think when we're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence of the Bhagavatam is, if we look at throughout the pages of the Bhagavatam, what I've noticed, what I keep thinking, and whenever I read anything, is that there's some great personality is making a mistake, and that same personality reaches perfection. And we see this time and time, like even Dhruva Maharaj, he even made a mistake towards the end, but even his initial desire was, I want a kingdom greater than my grandfather, I want this kingdom. But we see that. That actually the Lord is so forgiving, and we see in the pages of the Bhagavatam that okay, the Lord is very forgiving, devotees are making mistakes, but even people who are against the Lord, they make mistakes and the Lord forgives them and we move on. Like even Ashwatthama, you know, like he's making this huge mistake. Draupadi says, don't kill him, so they don't kill him. And then he still doesn't act properly, but still they don't kill him. And I think even with Brahma, what we're seeing is just another example of a great personality who makes a mistake, but is pardoned and is allowed to continue with their service. And I think that's the essence of not just Brahma, but a lot of the great personalities. Look at Indra, time and time again, he's making mistakes. I think that for me is the greater lesson here. Okay, someone can do the most ridiculous thing, the most abominable thing, but if we want to carry on in our devotional service, if we are sincere, the Lord will forgive and we can move on. That doesn't mean that we're not meant to be retributed, it doesn't mean that justice shouldn't be given, that the right action shouldn't be taken for any wrongdoing, especially with things like abuse, etc. These things should be rectified or dealt with. But at the same time, what we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if someone makes a mistake and is sincere and wants to carry on in their devotional service, the Lord is ready to forgive. Lord Ram, when Ravan stole Sita, what did he say? He said, if Ravan takes shelter of me, I will give him shelter. You know, so it's like he's ready to give the kidnapper of his wife shelter. He's ready to forgive on that level. So I think that for me is the main thing there. Does that make sense? Ram, what's wrong?
Thank you, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful class. It seemed like a mixture of Bhakti and CC. It's really amazing. And I really like this point that you made, how Mahaprabhu was almost doing bridge preaching. He understood that this is what attracts the mind by these light effulgence. That's what he displayed. And I was just thinking that, yes, this is the best way of bridge preaching. It's where you don't compromise, you don't change. But in some sense, you kind of adapt to the audience. But then I thought, actually, Mahaprabhu, in one sense, he did change. It wasn't at that moment that he changed, but earlier on that he did take sannyas so that people respect him, like sannyas in my bodies. So it almost seems that, yeah, that for corporate preaching and given events, it always seems like a person has to adapt in some way to relate to those people. I was wondering if you could touch on that.
I mean, what comes to mind is Jankina Prabhu on the streets, and he'd like start doing magic tricks, and then he'd get them to take a book. You know, so it's like, okay, I'm going to do something. I might have to adapt something, but I'm not adapting something internal. I'm just changing something external. I'm changing something external to attract someone, and then I'm going to give them the inner world, and so he'll be giving out the Bhagavad Gita, or he'll be giving out Bhagavad Gita. Lord Chaitanya is giving them Krishna prem, and he might be attracting them with something else. So like even these other events, you might have it in a certain place, you might dress in a suit and tie. So externally you may change something, but internally what we're giving them the opportunity to connect with Krishna. I think that's what comes. Yes?
No, good. Yeah, very good point.
Yeah, it's just in reference to Lord Ramah's behaviour. I think sometimes when great personalities, they seem to do some strange things or act out very out of character. It's the will of providence in order to set an example and maybe convey a certain kind of message as well.
Yeah.
You know? So otherwise it's almost inconceivable how anybody can do
That's a really nice point. I mean, I guess that's also, when you said that, what came to mind for me also was Maharaj Parikshit. It was very out of character for him to put that snake on the stage. It's just like that wasn't his kind of style, that wasn't his personality, very humble, very caring king. But by the will of providence, he put the snake on, and then obviously he got cursed, and we get to read the whole Bhagavatam because of that. So I guess there's always this thing about the lesson, the will of providence, or should we say the will of Krishna, the will of the Lord, how we can accept our fate, and how we can learn from our lessons. I think the important thing that also comes to mind while we're speaking is with Maharaj Parikshit and Lord Brahma, that there's the will of the Lord and there's a great personality that makes a mistake. And if great personalities make mistakes, then when we make mistakes, we still have hope. And in our spiritual life, if there was no hope, what do we have? But we have hope and we have trust. You know, we have hope because we know that even if I make a mistake, Krishna still loves me. And we can trust Krishna that he'll take care of me even if I make mistakes. And if in the pages of the Bhagavatam, great personalities are making mistakes, they're doing these weird things, Krishna still loves them, Krishna still gave them service, Krishna still gave them opportunity. That means that hope is never lost for me as long as I keep trying, I keep going, and I stay sincere. Anyone else want to share anything, any thoughts, any comments? Jai, thank you all very much. Kantara, Shima, Bhagavatam, Ki, Jai, Srila Prabhupada.
Jai,
Prabhupada.